Thank you so much to Rossi and the team for leading us. I don't know if you could just get a scent of those Boerewors rolls coming through towards the end of the last song there. Did you smell it? Gosh, it wet my appetite. I actually haven't had breakfast this morning, Paula. And no, but I'm saying Paula's name for a reason. She actually promised me scrambled eggs. Well, you mentioned it. And I tell you, those scrambled eggs never materialized. So hence, a hungry pastor. And I actually went to the ATM early this morning to draw my money for the Boerewors roll. Because, of course, pastors also have to pay for them. And I got there and I found half the church there drawing money as well. So we're all looking forward to a Boerewors roll after the service. Just to say two quick things. Don't forget, if you've come to the church needing prayer, I always want to encourage you, never ever leave a service having not been prayed for. We've got a team of prayers ready right after the service at the back. You just go to the right. There's an office block there. You'll find people there waiting to pray for you. It's not a burden to pray for anybody. It's a delight. It's a joy to pray. So if you've got a need, head to the back and take a right and there'll be a team there waiting to pray for you. And then just secondly, I just want to ask the members, if you could just stay back for 5 minutes, 2 minutes after the service. I just want to share some exciting news with you about our improvements we're making to our security around the perimeter of our premises. So just to let you know about that. Alrighty, question, and you've got to be honest, it is church. How many of you from time to time find yourselves lacking patience? No, don't put up your hand. No, I don't want to see you. Some of you, two hands are going up. Not one, two hands. So impatient with your spouse, for example, impatient with the kids. You find yourself kicking the dog, which is a poor little doggy. Impatient in the traffic. Impatient with the internet. You know, why did this website take 20 seconds to appear? We're so impatient. You know, why did this person take 5 minutes to answer my WhatsApp message? What's wrong with them? And we're living in a world which is so impatient. And often to the youngsters, the school kids who are complaining about their projects, I say, kids, remember when we were in school, in our day, when there was no Google? In fact, my dad's got something on his phone now. He can actually speak into Google. He asks Google, and Google talks back to him. I don't know if you guys have heard of that thing before. Have you? Oh, you've all got it. I just am lacking. But before those days, we had to go to a library. And there are lots of books in a library. We had to find the books relevant to our subject. We had to find the pages relevant to our topic. Then we had to photocopy right the first time. There were always a couple out of sync. And then you had to pay for the pages, not free photocopies. You had to cough up 20 cents per page, which was a lot of money in those days. Then you took those pages home and you did your project. Now these youngsters, it's ask Google. And you know, the teacher's just getting what Google says. So I don't know. I think life has become faster, but it certainly hasn't helped us to reduce our stress levels. And helped us to become more patient. So with that in mind, I think let's turn to a very pertinent, relevant scripture. James chapter 5. And read a few verses from there together. James chapter 5. We're all there. James chapter 5. Be patient. Be patient. I got to be very patient. My sister stood in the index. Oh, you haven't got a Bible. Okay, no, that's all right. Just checking. It's lovely being a pastor with a microphone. Randomly pick on people you want to. Okay, be patient. There's your key word, guys. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmers wait. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and the spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge, capital J, is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophet who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or a simple no. Otherwise, you will be condemned. Father, I want to thank you for this beautiful, incredible passage of Scripture. Lord, in a few short verses, there is so much. Lord, help me to explain this well and then give us wide open hearts to receive your word and to respond to your word in Jesus' great name. Amen. All right, well, just a few quick points to make this morning. Number one is be patient because the Lord is coming. Be patient, the Lord is coming. Verse 7, James tells us. He says, then be patient, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. So for the last 2,000 years of church history, believers throughout those generations have held onto this one core belief. This world is not the end. Jesus is coming back to make all things new. Does that not encourage somebody this morning? We are one day closer to the coming of Jesus Christ today than we were yesterday, when the great King of Kings will return to the earth and he will make all things brand new. There's a message of hope. And just to whet your appetite, let me read these verses to you from Revelation chapter 21 that paints a picture of that great day. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heavens and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I was quite disappointed because I like the sea. But maybe God will fix it up for me at some stage. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. No more death, no more mourning, no more crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Isn't that exciting? My friends, the day is coming, and this gives us great hope as Christian people, when Jesus Christ will return and the prophetic words of John will come to pass. There will be no more cancer, no more chemo, no more suffering, no more death, no more tears, no more funerals, no more injustice. Everything will be made new by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why, James says, in this interim time, we are patient through suffering because rest is yet to come. This is not the end. If this was the end, it would be a very miserable experience. No, James says, I want to encourage you, through the eyes of faith, look beyond the temporary. And fix your eyes on the eternal. Jesus Christ is coming back. That is not a debatable topic. It is absolutely guaranteed. Jesus is coming back. One of my favorite illustrations of hope in the midst of suffering is Joni Erickson, who was paralyzed at age 17 in that diving accident. And I don't know if you heard now the latest news from last week is she's been diagnosed with terminal cancer. So you can imagine you're paralyzed from the shoulders down. You've been like that since age 17. You spent the rest of your life telling people about Jesus, and now you end your life being diagnosed with terminal cancer. How do you respond to that? Well, this is how she responded. She says, when I get to heaven, this is what I want to do. I hope to bring my new wheelchair, put it in a little corner in heaven, and then in my new perfect cancer-free body, standing on grateful, glorified legs, I'll stand next to my Savior holding his nail-pierced hands, and I will say, thank you, Jesus. For Joni, this world is not the end. She's had a rough deal, man. Paralyzed from the shoulders down for a whole entire life. Now terminal cancer. Can you see her perspective? This is not the end. For her, the best is yet to come. New legs, new body, new life. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord is coming back, and he will make all things new. Hang in there. Don't give up. Number two, be patient because God is at work. Look at the illustration James gives in verse 7. He says, see how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and the spring rains. And in the Eastern Cape, they've had to be very patient because the rains have not yet come, and we're trusting for the farmers they will come soon. But be patient, God is at work, James says. Even though the farmer can't see the physical evidence, he knows that once he's planted that seed in the ground, and once he waters and looks after that seed, the harvest down the line is not debatable. It's just a matter of time. Why? Because the seed's been planted. And so James is saying that it's so easy to look around you and to become discouraged. But bear in mind that behind the obvious, the seed of God's kingdom in all different spheres of life is producing good things. God hasn't stopped working. God is working in families. God is working in schools. God is working in businesses. God is working in nations. Doesn't that encourage you? And he says, be patient. You may not see the harvest right now. Things may not be changing right now, but the seed of God's kingdom is working in an incredible way to bring good fruit down the line. Now, I wish I'd brought a prize with me. In fact, I have got one. And in fact, this is a great prize. I've just found it now. This is Nathan Ganetsky's book that somebody might really want. Funny enough, it also focuses on hardship and suffering. But this is a very remarkable statement I'm going to make in a few moments. Which, out of all the countries on the planet that exist today, which country do you think is experiencing the fastest church growth in the world today? China! You're wrong, Cindy. Who said Iran? No, my mother-in-law, she hangs out with me too much, man. Well done, Jen. Yes. Iran. But I give a prize for that because how many of you would ever have thought that under this harsh Islamic regime, the Ayatollah Khamenei, Iran is experiencing revival today on an unprecedented level. God is at work. Look at this quote from Operation World. Persecution threatened to wipe out Iran's tiny church. Instead, the Iranian church has become the fastest growing church in the world, and it's influencing the region for Christ. More Iranians have become Christians in the past 20 years than in the previous 13 centuries put together. In 1980, there were an estimated 500 Christians in Iran. Today, there are more than 1 million, Operation World. Jesus Christ is alive. And he is working in powerful ways, nationally and internationally. And through the eyes of faith, James says, don't give up. Don't become discouraged. Remember, the seed of God's kingdom is always producing good things. Man, I don't know about you, but I'm so proud of our Springbok rugby captain, Sia Kulisi. And I don't know if you saw, but while he was playing that final, there was a white wristband around his wrist. Then if you saw what was written on that wristband, in capital letters, I saw the words J-E-S-U-S. And I think the world saw that. I think the world saw that. I've got a feeling that God is doing something in this country. Through the eyes of faith, I think that beyond the bad news, there's lots of good stuff happening as well. And I believe that James wants to encourage us. God is at work. Keep going. Hang in there. But now he has got a great one. Oh my goodness, you're going to love this one. This is where you're going to start elbowing your neighbor. Point number three. Whew. Got to work up the... Be patient with one another. Oh, chaps. Oh, goodness. And I've got to say, because look at verse 9. No one's got this verse underlined, I can guarantee it. Don't grumble. Does anybody know a grumbler? No, you're pointing fingers. No, don't show me. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Now, before I unpack that verse for you, just a quick question. Do you think God has a short fuse? A long one? Are you glad about that? Does that encourage you? Because I think if he had a short fuse, we'd all be finished. But God's got a long fuse. God is patient. And so I think the whole idea is that you've been the recipient of grace and patience and kindness. So now's your opportunity to extend that same grace and kindness and mercy to others. You've received it. Now you go and give it away. And friends, I want to say to you this morning, if you want to lose your joy as a Christian, I'm sure none of you want to, but if you do want to lose it, the quickest way to lose your joy is to become a complainer and a grumbler. I don't know what it is, but those two things are joy thieves. They suck every ounce of joy out of you, and you can see it over people's faces. There's no joy. There's just no joy. It looks, honestly, it looks like they've been baptized in lemon juice and sprinkled with pickle juice. But I'm telling you right now that that flows from a spirit that never sees the good. It only sees the bad. It never sees the positive. It only sees the negative. It never focuses on what God, rather on what they haven't got. So James says, live in the opposite spirit. Be patient with others as God has been patient with you. It's a very simple equation. And I like the warning he gives us. He says, man, I'd be very careful about grumbling. Because actually every word you speak, the Lord is listening to, and he's actually standing at the door. And the same measure of judgment you use against other people, the Bible says, will be measured to you. That's motivation to be kind and gracious and gentle with others. Right, but now we get back to the good part again. James is all over the place, but here comes a good part. Be patient. Number four, and I'll wrap it up with this one. You can smell it. Can you smell it? Yo. It's just too good. Dave, is that you drooling there? Oh, just wiping your mouth. Just wiping your mouth. Okay. Be patient, number four. And somebody can say an amen to this one. God's promises are true. God's promises are true. Now, guys, keep in mind. You've always got to keep in mind the context. Can you remember who James is writing this letter to? James is the pastor of a church in Jerusalem, but he's writing to followers of Jesus Christ. Remember our first lesson, who've been scattered throughout the known world because of persecution. These are people who are going through an incredibly difficult time. In fact, James himself, do some research, you will discover James ended his life by being taken to the pinnacle of the temple. He was thrown off the temple. And when he landed on the ground, he wasn't completely dead. And a mob surrounded him and beat him to death with a baton. When James speaks about persecution and hardship, do you think he knows what he's talking about? He does. And so he says, I want to encourage you, be patient because God's promises are true. And in verse 11, he mentions a very interesting character. His name is Job. As you know, he says in verse 11, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and seen what the Lord finally brought about. Now, the people he was writing to, remember they had the Old Testament scriptures. They would have known exactly the story of Job. Do you know the story of Job? Remember Job, he was the guy who went through a terribly difficult time. There was a place between the devil and God, and the devil said to God, this man is only following you, God, because of the benefits that you provide for him. You've been so good to him. You've blessed him with a family, with a business, with resources, with health. I guarantee, Lord, if you take away the benefits, this man will curse you to your face. And so God gave permission for those benefits to be taken away from Job. And as you know the story, he lost his children, devastating for a dad. He lost his resources. He became bankrupt. Eventually, he lost his health. How would you respond to that? Job 1:21. These are incredible words. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Those to me are supernatural words. In other words, God, I'm not just following you because of the benefits. I'm following you because of you. Because you are good. The Lord, you gave, but now you've taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Those are words of faith. What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? The God is able to deliver us. And he will deliver us from your hand, O King. But even if he doesn't, we will not bow down and worship your gods. My friends, be patient. The promises of God are true. And if you know the end of the story of Job, the Lord restores Job and God is faithful to Job. Verse 12, the Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part. Verse 16, after this, Job lived 140 years. That's a long time to live. He saw his children, their children, to the fourth generation. And so Job died, an old man and full of years. Friends, why is God mentioning these things? Why is James reminding people of these things? He's saying to them, and like I'm saying to you this morning, listen very carefully. I cannot stand here and promise you an easy life. I cannot. I cannot promise you that in this brief earthly journey, you won't experience the harshest of realities. Losing a loved one to cancer. Losing a child to cancer. I cannot promise you that things will just go perfectly well for the rest of your life. I can promise you this, that God is intrinsically faithful. His promises are absolutely true, and he holds your life in the palm of his hand. Doesn't that fill you with faith? I don't know what the future holds for you, but I know who holds the future. And my heart is full of faith and full of confidence that no matter what life brings across my path, the good, the bad, and the ugly, I can be patient. Because God's promises are true. Is that encouraging someone today? God is intrinsically faithful. Faithfulness runs in his DNA. He has been faithful to previous generations. He will be faithful to you. Hang in there. Do not give up. And then finally, let's just finish up with verse 12 as James does. he wraps it up with these challenging words. He says, above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or a simple no. God has been faithful to you. His promises to you are true. Now he says, are you responding by being a person of integrity? Are you true to your word? When you say yes, do you mean yes? When you say no, do you mean no? May the world see a generation of Christ followers who are men and women of integrity and honor in every area of life, representing the God that we serve well in the earth. So let's wrap it up with these few challenges. Be patient. Jesus is coming back. There's a word for somebody today. Be patient. Be patient. God is at work. He's at work in your life. He's at work in this country. He's at work around the world. Be patient with one another. Freely you've received, now freely you go and give it away. And be patient. God's promises are true. Amen. Amen. As I invite the people serving the communion to the front, I'm going to leave a verse on the screen for us to reflect on as we receive the bread and the cup. And in the light of what I've shared this morning, I want you just to take some time to focus on this verse. And let me read it to you quickly. To God, to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling, able to keep you from stumbling, and to present you before His glorious presence without faults and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, authority, through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Our God is faithful. He's a promise keeper. Jesus is coming back. I want us just to receive the bread and the cup, and I'll say a few words before we eat and drink together. What a great opportunity just to take a moment to look at the screen and to focus on that verse in the light of the message I've shared. This is a picture of the God we serve. May it bring great hope and great encouragement to your hearts this morning. I'm just checking, is everybody in the middle part received? Fantastic. On the left, just at the back there, one or two folk. And on this side, all received. Okay. Well, let me read a scripture to us from 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. The Apostle Paul says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread." You received a piece of bread this morning. "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup." You received the cup this morning, "saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you drink this cup and eat this bread, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Until he comes. Lord Jesus, in the light of those verses, we have to pause and take a moment to say thank you so much for this incredible sacrifice that you made on our behalf. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying in our place and dying for our sins. Lord, thank you for the grace and mercy we've received from you. Thank you, Lord, you've washed us clean by the blood of Jesus. You've cleansed us from all unrighteousness. Lord, how else can we respond to such incredible love and such incredible grace than by offering our lives to you in surrender and saying, "Lord, take us, all that we are and all that we have, and use us for your glory and for your honor." Father, now as we eat this bread and drink this cup, I pray you'd remind us again of those words that Jesus is coming back. We drink this, Lord, and eat this bread until you come. Give us patience to know that you are coming back. Give us patience to know, Lord, that you are at work. Give us patience, Lord, with one another. And give us patience, Lord, because we know your promises are true. Let's eat and drink together with grateful hearts. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Look, he's coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him and all peoples on earth because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who was and is to come, the Almighty. Go in peace, my friends, and may the peace of God go with you in Jesus' name. Amen.